Good morning and thank you for joining. Today's daf is daf Yud Ches here in Masechet Shkalim, and we were on daf Yud Zayin Amud Beis. The Gemara is talking about the different objects that were in the Beis HaMikdash. We saw in the Mishnah there were 13 tables in the Beis HaMikdash. This is a reference to Vayesheni, the times of the Second Temple. There were 13 tables in the Beis HaMikdash, 8 marble tables in the Beis HaMitbachayim, in the area of the Azara, where they would cut up the Karbanos and wash the innards of the Karbanos Ola. There were 2 tables to the west of the ramp, and there were 2 tables in the Ulam, one of marble and one of gold. And we said that these tables that were inside the Pesach, inside the entrance of the Ulam, the one of marble was for the Lechem HaPanim as it was coming in and would come out of the oven. And the one of gold was for the Lechem HaPanim when it would come out of the oven. Wouldn't come off of the shulchan, it would go on to gold, because Malin Bakodesh Flo Meridin, we go up in holiness, we don't go down. That's what the Mishnah had said. And then we learned in the Gemara that there's a brisa that says that actually it wasn't a marble table, it was a silver table. And the Gemara says that's against our Mishnah. Our Mishnah holds not silver, because silver would heat up, and that would might lead the Lechem HaPanim to become moldy, to get ruined. And even though the Lechem HaPanim would stay fresh as a miracle, we don't rely on miracles, we have to do our maximum to try to avoid ruining the Lechem HaPanim. And then the Gemara had said, finally a question, could you, Ma'ola Nicha L'Shabbos Haba, let's say you have, you don't have any new Lechem HaPanim for whatever reason, can you use last week's Lechem HaPanim and leave it there for next week? So the answer is yes, you could, if you don't have a choice. The Pasuk says, V'nasata L'Shulchem Lechem Panim L'Fanai Tzamid. That's saying Lechem Panim, even if it's pasul, just leave it there. All right, so that's what we had gotten up to. And let's start over here with Asara Shulchanos. So it's about a third of the way up on Yud Zayin Amud Beis. The Gemara now discusses in the days of Shlomo HaMelech, the Navi describes Shlomo as having made many additional objects. So Asara Shulchanos, Asa Shlomo. Shlomo HaMelech made an extra 10 tables that he put into the Heichal. The Chassid, as the verse says, Vayash Shulchanos Asarai, made 10 tables. Vayanach beHeichal, and he placed them in the Heichal. Chamisha miyamin vechamisha mismo, 5 on the right and 5 on the left. So the right and left of what? So in Tamar Chamisha bedarma, Chamisha betzafon, if you're going to say it was 5 on the south and 5 on the north, follow Eina Shulchan Kasher, Ela Batzafon. We know that the Shulchan was only Kasher in the north. So if it's going to be next to the doorway, 5 on the right of the doorway, which would be north, and 5 on the left of the doorway, which would be south, then how could Shlomo make Shulchanos? The Shulchan is supposed to be in the north. These 5 are in the south. What are you accomplishing with that? Shneva, the Pasuk says that Hashem tells Moshe, Vesa Shulchan Titein Al Tzel HaTzafon. The table for the showbread is to be placed on the northern side. So, what would be accomplished with 5 to the right and 5 to the left? So, rather, it doesn't mean 5 to the right and 5 to the left of the doorway. Five to the right of the table of Moshe Rabbeinu and 5 to the left of the table of Moshe Rabbeinu. Aval pi kein. Now, even though he had a total of 11 tables, the Lechem HaPanim would only be arranged on the table of Moshe. As it says, Shulchan Asher Alav Lechem HaPanim, the table that has on it the Lechem HaPanim. So it's all in the singular tense. Es HaShulchan, the table, Asher Alav, that is on it, the Lechem HaPanim. However, Rabbi Yosef Yehuda, Omer Rabbi Yosef Yehuda says, Al Kulanayim Mesader, Shlomo HaMelech made an extra 10 tables. And on all 11 tables, you would put the lechem apanim, shenem, as the pasuk says, esah shulchanos, on the tables, alehem, and on them was lechem apanim. So you have an argument. When Shlomo HaMelech made his extra 10 tables, did he still only use one table, or did he now use all 11 tables? All right, another point. Where were these tables? Tani went in a braisa, mizrachu mayrav, and you assume they're very rabbi. Rabbi holds that the tables were laid out from east to west, which is meaning the length of the table was according to the length of the Beis HaMikdash, because the Beis HaMikdash was laid out east to west. However, Rabbi Shimon says, the tables were laid out north to south. So even though the Beis HaMikdash is east to west, the tables, their length was according to the width of the Beis HaMikdash. If you're going to say that the Beis HaMikdash was east to west and the tables are east to west, Nicha, so now it makes sense. Kulin Ru'uyin L'Sheiris. They're all set up in a way where it's fit to use them. And you can have the view that says that they were all being used. They were all in the north. Because you have 10 tables laid out east to west, but they're all in the north. However, Mandam Ritzav from Vitarom, but if the tables are laid out north to south, they're 10 tables. Each table is two amos long. So then, Nimtza Shulchan Vitarom. So now you're going to have tables in the south. The menorah b'tzafon. What are you going to have? Menorah in the north? No, the menorah is supposed to be in the south. The shulchan is supposed to be in the north. So the Gemara doesn't answer that question. The Gemara doesn't answer that question. And the way the commentators explain, since this is not the halacha, we don't need to answer the question. So the halacha is that the tables were arranged east to west. So to answer the view of the one who said that the tables were arranged north to south is not necessary. But that's not the halacha. Say, if it was arranged north to south and you're having five tables in the south. Not even necessary because we don't accept it for the halacha. All right, next. Take out the word vaha. There's a girsa change here. So Tani went in a braisa. How was the hecha laid out? Hashulchan ayinasun mechatzi in abayis v'lifnim mashach menakosol shtei amasun mechatzi klapi atzafa. The shulchan was at the 20 amma part of the Heichal, so from the half of the room and in, it was 2.5 amos moved off of the wall on the northern side. The menorah was exactly opposite it, the darim on the southern side. And then you had Mizbeach Hazav, the golden altar, which got the Ktores. Hayanasun be'emtza bayis, that was in the middle of the Heichal, in the middle of the room. Dividing the room from half and on. And Mashal Kima Klape Chutz, and pulled a little bit out towards the outside, towards the east. The Kulu, and all of it, all of it was placed from a third of the room and in. So a third of the room, empty space, 20 amos empty space. Then the Shulchan. Then you have another 20 amos. Then you have Kodesh HaKodesh. So, if you look at the entirety of the room, the Heichal plus the Kodesh HaKodesh, it's 60 amos. So the Mizbeach Hazav, the golden altar, which was 20 amos in, that was a third in. If you look only at the Heichal, which is itself 40 amos, 20 amos in is halfway in. Eser menoros asa Shlomo. So we learned that Shlomo HaMelech had made 10, besides making 10 tables, as we discussed before, this price teaches that Shlomo HaMelech also made 10 copies of the menorah. He made 10 menoros, 10 lamps. Shenemar, the verse says, Vayas menoros hazav, that Shlomo made the menorah of gold, Eser kimishpato, 10 of them, each of them as its law. The verse goes on to say that Shlomo placed the menorahs, Vayitzein beheichal Hashem, he put them in the heichal of Hashem. Chamisha miyamin, 5 on the right and 5 on the left. So same discussion that we had about the Shulchan. In Tamar, if you're going to tell me chamisha b'tzav and chamisha b'daron, that the 5 on the right means 5 on the right of the entranceway and 5 on the left of the entranceway, which would mean 5 are in the north and 5 are in the south. Valoyin menorah k'sher el b'daron. We know the menorah only is kashu in the south. So you can't have 5 in the north. The pasuk says, and the menorah opposite the shulchan in the south. So Matzamet lomar chamesh miyamin v'chamesh mismol. So what does it mean? Five on the right and five on the left. El chamesh miyamin minorasa shel Moshe. Five on the right of the menorah of Moshe. V'chamesh mismola. On five on the left. Yeah.
Why would he do that?
I think to add beauty, to show honor of the Beis HaMikdash. He's making 10 extra shulchanos, 10 extra menoros, to add to the glory of what he's creating. And the gold was very expensive. That was a sign of tremendous honor, to donate so much gold to the Beis HaMikdash, to add such tremendous beauty.
Half a page ago, we worried that there wasn't enough showbreads for maybe you have to use the ones from last week, and then in the next one they're making 120 extras every
Right, that's true. Right, I guess these are different eras. In the second temple era, they were poor. Sometimes they didn't have enough bread. The first temple, especially when Shlomo HaMelech built it, it was a time of tremendous wealth of the Jewish people. Mm-hmm. And Shlomo HaMelech showed us that when we have wealth, we should give it to Hashem. We should glorify the house of Hashem. Make the house of Hashem beautiful. It's the tikkun of the sin of the ego. Right? But that's only in the Kodesh HaKadoshim. In the Kodesh HaKadoshim, we have sometimes that issue, even though the Aron itself is gold, but the Kohen Gadol can't walk in wearing gold. But in the Heichal, we always had gold. So the menorahs, these extra 10 menorahs that Shlomo HaMelech made, where is he putting them? If they are flanking the doorway, then he's putting them in the wrong spot. So it has to mean El chamesh miyamin minorasu shel Moshe, v'chamesh mismola. Five are at the right of Moshe Rabbeinu's menorah, and five are at the left of Moshe Rabbeinu's menorah. They're not flanking the doorway; they're flanking Moshe Rabbeinu's menorah. So these extra 10 menorahs are all in the south. Afal pikin, even so, lo hayamavir ela shel Moshe bilvad. You would only light Moshe Rabbeinu's menorah. And as it says, menorah sazahav, the menorah of gold. Vineiro Seha and her lamps. Leva erev to light every night. Rabbi Yosef Yehuda says, Al kulan hayamavir. No, Shlomo HaMelech, the same way Rabbi Yosef Yehuda held that he would put lechem upon him on all 10 tables that he made, the extra 10 tables, he felt he would also light all 10 menoros. Shemar, it says, Vesa menoros, Vineiro Sehem, menoros and their candles. The Va'aram Kamishpat, to ignite as the law. Lifnei Advir, in front of the Kodesh HaKadoshim. Zahav Sagur, with pure gold. Va'perach, and the flower of the menorah. Va'neros, and the lamps. Va'mil Kochayim, and the tweezers. Zahav Hu, was all gold. Michlos Zahav Heim. What does it mean, Michlos Zahav Heim? Kilu Zahavo Shel Moshe. It should say Kilu Zahavo Shel Shlomo. They completed the gold of Shlomo. That's an exaggeration. But the point is, he used a tremendous amount of gold to make these menorahs, to make the lamps, to make the tweezers of gold, to make the adornments of gold, a tremendous amount of gold. Tanya Rabbi Yehuda B'Shem Asi. Rabbi Yehuda taught in the name of Asi. Haya Shlomo Notel Elef Kikrei Zav. So a kikar zav, Almog said, is about 50 pounds of gold. Shlomo took 1,000 kikars of gold. So he took 50,000 pounds of gold. Umachnisan lekur. And he would put this 50,000 pounds of gold into the oven, the smelting kiln. Umotzian. And then take the gold out. Hachu ma'amidan al echad. So that through the purging, through the burning through, he was purifying them and purifying them and purifying them. He purified it down to one kikar. So it went from 50,000 pounds down to 50 pounds. He purified it all the way, all the way, all the way down. Chaim Masha Ne'emar, to fulfill what the pasuk says, that the menorah is kikar zav Torah tahor ase osa. Make the menorah out of one kikar, 150-pound loaf of pure gold. So that's an amazing thing. He started with 1,000 kikar and he purified it down to one kikar. Tanya, we told in the Braisa, Am Reb Yossi, Reb Yehuda, Reb Yossi, son of Reb Yehuda said, Ma'asa b'menorah zav, sha'asa Moshe b'midbar. Once happened that the menorah of gold that Moshe Rabbeinu made in the desert, Ha'isa Yisera dinar zav. Somehow they were measuring it, they were weighing it, and they found that it wasn't just, didn't just weigh a kikar, it weighed a kikar plus a dinar. It was an extra dinar heavy. V'ichnisua l'kur shmonim pa'am, and they put it into the kiln 80 times. V'lo chasra klum, and they still were not able to get that extra dinar of weight out. Because it was so pure, nothing would be taken out by the heating. So the Gemara says, but I thought you just said that Shlomo HaMelech, by putting gold into the kiln, was able to get it down for 50,000 pounds, down to 50 pounds. So why is it that with Moshe Rabbeinu's menorah, they just wanted to pull out one dinar, they couldn't do it, even though they put it into the oven 80 times. So the Gemara says, V'yos, this all works out, it all does make sense. Ad lo yakum al berare, Havichaser Sagin. In other words, before the gold had reached its purity level, so then when you heat it, you lose a lot of it. However, Mindu Kiyam Al Brare, once this item has arrived at its clarity, it's arrived at its purity level, that's Moshe Rabbeinu, he used very, very pure gold. Then already lo chaser klum, you can heat it and nothing's going to be missing because it's already all very, very clean and very, very pure. Yeah, question, is he? I think so. I think they all have to be mikshachas. I think so. All right, so the next Mishnah deals with another set of items in the Beis HaMikdash. Now, not the tables, but the tzedakah boxes. They had boxes, we've seen this earlier, that were shaped as a shofar, shofaros. The reason why they were shaped as a shofar was to prevent theft. If they'd be shaped as a square box, a guy would put his hand in, as it were, to put coins into the box, and really he'd be taking coins out of the box. So it was shaped as a shofar. It was like a narrow horn. Put the coin in, it would roll down, roll into the basin that was larger. Says the Mishnah, Shalosh Aser Shofaros Hayu Bamikdash. There were 13 collection boxes in the shape of shofaros in the Beis HaMikdash. And they were there for different collections. So one collection was the Shkal. So Kosovo Land, this is what was written on the first one, Tiklin Chadetin, the new Shkal. In other words, every year, every male over the age of 20 has to give a tax of a shekel, 10 barley seeds worth of silver, a coin. It's a shekel, he has to give a shekel. So one box, it said Tiklin Chadetin, the new shekels. That was the shekels of this year. And there was a second box. The second box, it said in a Tiklin Atikin, the old shekels. So Tiklin Atikin, meaning, as we'll see in the Mishnah, that was if somebody didn't give shekels. Let's say in 2020, a person didn't give. So now in 2021, he would go to the box that says old shekels, and he put the coin in. It would roll into the box, and then the gizbarim, the executives of the Beis HaMikdash would collect the shekels, and they would put it together with all the leftover shekels. After the Trumas HaLishkah, there was a lot left over, and they would use it for the repair of the wall of Yerushalayim, the towers, the roads. Then there was a third box. That box said on it, Kinin. So Kinin means nests. We know there's an Aseches Kinin about situations where birds from different nests get mixed up with other birds. So typically nests is a reference to, let's say, a Yoledus, a woman who gives birth, or a Metzora who's poor. They would bring a nest of two birds. One bird is an Ola and one bird is a Chatas. So that's presumably what it means. We'll see. There's a machlokas if that's what it means here. And then there was a fourth box. It said it goes le'ola. This box said this is for the pigeons, for the olos, for the donated olos. Let's say a guy says, I'm going to donate a pigeon as an ola. So you go into the Beis HaMikdash, you put the coins, which are equal to the value of a pigeon, into that box of goes le'ola. And the Kohanim would take the coins and they would buy pigeons and they would offer them as olos. Yeah? Yes.
So where is the korbanot sibur
olah? Oh, the korbanot sibur is from the first box, Tiklin Charetzin. The shkalim. The shkalim of this year would be used to purchase the korbanos of this year. Then there was a box labeled Eitzim. So if somebody wanted to donate wood, so let's say a guy says, I'm promising that I'm donating wood to the Beis HaMikdash, you would then bring the money equal to the value of the wood, put into this box. And the Kohanim would purchase the wood. Then there was a box for Lavona, for donations of frankincense. Then there was a seventh box, Zav L'Kaporas, gold for atonement, which meant a person who wants to donate Klei Shares, who wants to donate the serving vessels. So he put in money, and that money would then be used to purchase the serving vessels, and they create atonement. So that's why it's called Zav L'Kaporas. Then the last six boxes, Shishul and Adava, they were all marked donations. Their coins were placed in order to buy animals that were offered as olos for Kayetz HaMizbeach to keep the altar busy. Right now, the Mishnah explains each box. Tiklin Charetzin, the shofar box with the words on it, new shekels. Shebechol Shana V'Shana, that's the shekels of each year. Batikin. And what was the box that said in a Tiklin Atikin, old shekels? Mishlo Hevi Yishtakid. Somebody didn't bring shkalim last year. Shokil Shanaba. And next year, he would bring shekels and put into the box for last year, and it would go with the excess. Kinin, the box that says nests, according to the Tanakama, which is Rabbi Yehuda here, Hein Torin. That's a reference to donating turtle doves. Let's say somebody wants to donate a turtle dove as an olas nadava, as an olas of. So if he said, I promise a turtle dove as a nadava, as an ola, he put the money for the tor into the box. Goes le ola, the box that said in it pigeons of ola, Hein B'nei Yonah, that's pigeons, and Kulan Olos. All of these are donations of Olos, to Rabbi Yehuda, it's the view of Rabbi Yehuda. So according to Rabbi Yehuda, it's not that a woman who gave birth can fulfill her obligation of bringing an Ola and a Chatas of a bird by putting money into the box. These boxes are for people who want to donate Olos. They want to donate birds as Olos, as Nadavos. If they wanted to donate turtle doves, they put their money into the box that says Kenan. And if they wanted to donate pigeons, they put their box into they put the money into the box that says goes le'ola. However, chacham say no. Kenan, the box that says on it nests, was for nests. So it's women who were zava or yoledes. They put their money in, and the kohanim would take that money that day, and they'd get a nest of two birds. And echad chatas ve'echad ola. One bird would be brought as a chatas, and one bird would be brought as an ola. Gozli Ola, the birds that are brought as an Ola, so the box that says in it Gozli Ola, Kulan Olos. They are all Olos. The box that says in it Gozli Ola, they are all Olos. So according to the Chacham, they disagree. They say that the box that says in it Kinim, that's a box to buy nests where one bird is an ola and one's a chatas. The box that says in it goes le'ola, that's to buy the pigeons that will be in olos nedava, olos that are a donation. Okay, ho'maril, I ate him. Person who says, I take a vow that on me is incumbent an obligation to donate woods. Lo'yifchos mishnei gzirin. He has to give at least two logs of wood. Somebody said, Lavona, I'm donating the frankincense, lo yivchos mi komets, he has to give at least a fistful. Zav, a person says, I'm donating gold, lo yivchos mi dinar zav, he has to give at least a dinar of gold. Now, the final six boxes, shishul nidzava. The final six boxes were all marked nidzava, donations, that was for coins that would go to buy animals that would be brought as olos to keep the mizbeach busy. Nidzava mayo osim, what would they do with the boxes that it says in it, nidzava? Lokumo olos habasar, they would buy olos of meat, lashem for Hashem. So they would buy olos, so the olos habasar lashem, the meat goes for God, it's all burned on the mizbeach. Oros la kohanim, and the skins would go to the kohanim. So that Medrash Darsh Yehoyada Kohen Gadol. This goes back to the days of the Navi. When Yehoyada Kohen Gadol, he interpreted this concept. The pasuk says, Asham hu Asham Asham LaHashem. So it's a strange pasuk. It says Asham hu. It is an Asham. So we know an Asham, the meat is eaten by Kohanim. It says Asham hu. It sounds like it's going to stay an Asham. But then it says Asham Asham LaHashem. The Asham is for God. It's sounding like the second point to the Kohanim. So he taught this pasuk means that called is the rule. Kol Shubam Mishum Chatzus Mishum Ashma. Anything which is being brought as a chatas or an asham, yilkach bahen olos habasar. So it started off as a chatas and an asham, and now it's left over, and you use it to buy olos. And the olos, yilkach bahen olos habasar l'Hashem. The meat goes to Hashem. That's how it becomes asham l'Hashem. But it's still asham hu. It's still there's something for the kohanim because the oros the kohanim. The skins go to the kohanim. And so shnei k'sukim kayom. And that way, both sukim are fulfilled. Asham l'Hashem. There's an element of going to Hashem. And Asham LaKohen, so now I'm going to the Kohen, the skin. Omer, another pasuk is also this way. It says, Kesef Asham, the Kesef Chatas, Lo Yuva Beis Hashem, LaKohen Amiyu. It says, Kesef Asham, and Kesef Chatas doesn't come to the house of Hashem, it goes to the Kohanim. In other words, it becomes an Ola, where the skin goes to the Kohanim. It says the Gemara Tanya, Linton of Bryce, Amr Yehuda said, Oh, Yeshofer Shalkinim B'Yerushalayim. Rabbi Yehuda did not hold that the box labeled Kinim was actually for nests. He thought the box labeled Kinim was for turtle doves that are being donated, not for Chatos. Why? Because Rabbi Yehuda says, if we're going to have women putting their money for the nest that they're supposed to buy into one box, then you're going to have a problem. We know that in a nest, woman has to bring a nest. One is an ola, one is a chatas. One bird is a chatas. One of the rules of a chatas is chatas shenesa ba'alea tamos. A chatas whose owner dies, the animal is now stuck. The animal has to be starved to death. So if you're going to have women who need to bring olos and chatos, putting their coins for their olos and chatos into this box, so all the coins are mixed together. And now maybe the woman who had to bring an ola and a chatas, she's going to drop dead. If she drops dead, her coins for the chatas now are chatas shenesu ba'alel. These are coins that should be sent to Yam HaMelech. These are coins that should be gone to waste. You can't use the coins. We don't know what's what. So now the whole thing becomes prohibited. Therefore, you don't do that. If a woman has to bring a nest, let her go buy a nest and bring both. But we don't want her to put coins in, and then we don't know where it's with her. Maybe she dies somewhere. We don't know. And we might be left with the chatas shenesu ba'alel. That's exactly what Rabbi Yehuda is afraid from. Shema Tamos Achas. Maybe a woman who had to bring a nest and put her money in, and we don't know that the money is hers, we're not tracking her anymore, maybe she's going to die. Now mixed into these coins, we're going to have coins of Chatas with owners that are dead. And those are coins that are supposed to go to destruction. Asks the Gemara, that's Rabbi Yehuda's Svara. That's why he holds that the box of Kinim was not for nests. It was just for donations of Olos. V'atan wielding a Braisa. Ha'isha shamar areil I can. A woman who says, because she had to, because she had a baby. She says, okay, here's, I'm giving a nest. She had to, because she had a baby. Evia d'mei ken. The Braisa says she brings the money of a nest. V'nos nasa v'shofar. And she puts it into the collection box, now starting Yud Chesem and Beis. And that night, she can assume that the karbanos were brought for her during the day. So that night, Ocheles B'Kachin, that night she's pure. She can eat karbanos. In a Chosheshet, she doesn't have to be worried. Sheminis Atzel Behen, maybe the Kohanim were lazy, they didn't bring her karban today. In addition, in a Kohen Chosheish, Shema d'mei chatos mesos murevos behen. The Kohen takes these coins and gets nests with them and then brings the nests as karbanos, as olos, and as chatos. He doesn't have to worry, oh, maybe the owner of one of these chatos is dead. There's something called cheskas chayim. There's a presumption of being alive. So what's going on here? So why does Rabbi Yehuda say that there's no box to collect coins for nests? Because we're worried maybe somebody's going to die. I thought the Brisa says we're not worried that people are going to die. It's the Gemara, ki kamrinan. When did we say this? The chataos, shemesu ba'alehen vadai. When did we say this? We said this with chata'o. We're not talking about that maybe someone's going to die. Exactly. Not that somebody that with money's put in, we have to worry that maybe somebody will die. We don't assume people are going to die. The point is, Rabbi Yehuda says, if you're going to have this collection system where people who need to bring nests just put money in, what about those cases when people do die? There are people who die. And then those coins are now all messed up. Because you have in this mixture of coins, coins from somebody who died, they can't bring a chatas, because their chatas is a chatas whose owner died. It's going to be mixed up with all the other coins. So the problem is, ki kaminan v'chatao shemesu ba'alein, vadai. What we're talking about is when the owners do die, and we have coins here of owners who are dead. So now we're stuck. The whole shofar is going to be stuck. Oh, so now Izzy asks a good question. So Gemara asks, so why do you have to be worried about the whole thing? But there's something called Breira. Breira means that you can establish through an action later, retroactively, what's been going on the whole time. So let's say a person, we're worried that, what are we going to do in the cases when people die? That's what our fear is. What are we going to do when people drop dead? If we have the concept of Breira, Yaminan Breira, if we say that there's such a thing as Breira, so Nivra Dalet Zuzi, let's just take out the four Zuz, which is the value of a bird for the Chatas. Finish Dai Benahara, throw it into the river, and say, this is the four Zuz of the person who died. Yidach Mishtara, then everything else will be permitted. So Mar says, no, it's again, it's Rabbi Yehuda. Harmina Ba'alma, we say all over Rabbi Yehuda, let's lay Breira. Rabbi Yehuda doesn't hold a Breira. Since it's Rabbi Yehuda, he doesn't hold a Breira. So he says, we're not going to have a box. And in that box, people who need to bring nests are going to put their money. Because sometimes people die. That's true. We don't worry in every situation. Maybe somebody dropped dead. But there are going to be cases that people die. And when people die, this box now is going to have a problem. It's going to have money of chatas, of dead owners. To say, oh, we're going to take out money that will reveal retroactively that that money of the chatas whose owners are dead is this money that was taken out, and this money will get rid of, that you can't do. He doesn't hold a Breira. You can't say that now you got the right coins out. The right coins may be stuck there. They're still stuck there. Therefore, Rabbi Yehuda says, no. If you have to bring a nest, you go buy a nest. The box that said on it nests was not for nests. It wasn't for chatas and ola. It was for olos of birds that were nedavos, that were donations, of a particular type of bird. Of the Tor, not of the Ben Yona. Well, because the Chata Shemesa Ba'aleha, right, it has to be put to death, and the money for it would also have to go to waste. So the money for the money of this person who died, and his money of Chatas has to go to waste. To be thrown out.
Why is that concept?
Because she's the one who's normally bringing the birds as chataos.
We've previously spoken about other contributions by other people. So would that also apply? Would that also be a concern?
That's mostly women who are bringing it. But others would apply to others too. Mitzora also. Okay. Now the Mishnah said that there was a box for donations of wood. Mishnah said that when someone donates wood, he has to give at least two logs. Says the Gemara, Rabbi Yossi, the son of Rabbon. Am Rabba bar Mamal, the name of Rabba, the son of Mamal. But he had the following question. Amar Re'alai Eitz. What happens if somebody says, on me is incumbent to give a donation of one log of wood? Maybe Gezer Echa, does he bring one log? Or do we say, no, only two. There have to be at least two. Because two is an offering. One is not an offering. So Amr Blazer, Blazer said, Masni Samar, there's a mission that resolves it. Mishnah said that when the Karban Tamid, to prepare the Karban Tamid, they'd have two Kohanim, one going up with one log, one going up with another log. So Masni Samra came, the Mishnah already resolved it, Shezek Karban Bifni Atzmo, Shezek Karban Bifni Atzmo. This one has his Karban and this one has his Karban. So you see that one log is also a full offering. Kaidatina Taman, as we learned in the Mishnah over there in Yuma, Shnayim Biyadam Shnei Gizrei Eitzim. Two Kohanim in their hands was a log of wood, carbon, and this is a carbon. The Rabbos Esa Eitzim to include the wood. Okay, so you see each log of wood is already considered its own carbon, and therefore if a person said, I'm giving a log, that would also work. Now talking about the sizes of the logs of wood that would go, that were donated to the Mizbeach. Bishum and Levi Omer Uvyon Amma, the thickness of the log was an Amma. But Amma Shochekes. Now remember, an Amma is six Tfachim. Tefach is four fingers. And there are two ways to arrange the four fingers. You can have them tightly bunched next to each other, or you can have them separated from each other. Amma Shochekes, an extra large Amma. So, Rabbi Shimon Levi Amar, Rabbi Shimon Levi said, Uvyan Amma, the thickness of the log was an Amma. But Amma Shochekes, with an Amma that was extra large, with the fingers being apart from each other. For Arkan, the length of the log was Ba'amma Geduma, was also an Amma, but the Amma now was tight. Rabbi Chuni B'Shem Rabbi Ami said, Kimin Tortami. He said that the spoke about the thickness and the length. So he's talking about the different explanation of what he means here when he says Kimin Tortami. Some say it means the thickness was of a kind with the stick on which the scale hangs. So he disagreed. So Rab Chuni, the name of Rab Ami, holds that the thickness of these logs was actually very thin, like the stick of a scale. So now, the length was an Amma though, and the length we said was an Amma Geduma. Right? According to Rabbi Shimon Levi, the thickness was a very wide Amma. According to Rav Chuni, the son of Rav Ami, it was only like the thickness of a stick. But the length is a compact Amma. So why is that so? So Amar Rav Shmuel bar Rav Yitzchak, Lefisha lo haya makam amaracha la'amal Amma. Because the space for the pile of wood that was put on fire on Moshe Rabbeinu's Mizbeach was only an Amma by an Amma. Lefichach lo haya bala Amma geduma. That's why the log itself was only long, a compact Amma. The Tani Kain, and we learned in the Braisa, in fact, that the space for the Ma'aracha was only an Amma by an Amma. The Braisa says at the base you had Amma Yisod, then you had Amma Sovev, another Amma in for the Sovev, for the ledge, and Amma Karkov. There was another Amma in for the Michbar, for the Chutasikra, for the decorations on the middle of the Mizbeach. And then there was another Amma in for the Kranos. And what you're left with is an Amma Ma'aracha, only an Amma for the pile of the logs. So since it was only an Amma by an Amma, it had to be room for the Kohanim to walk around it. That's why it had to be a compact Amma. Couldn't be extra long, because if it would be extra long, the Kohanim when walking around would get stuck. Okay. Okay, Bezrat Hashem will continue tomorrow. Rabbi